Greetings to you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shalom.
Today we are going to talk about going forth. Many times in our lives we get stuck. You know this center, what is it called? This junction before us? RTC? X-roads, crossroads. Crossroads. Crossroads is something which means that you don't have the right direction to go forward. Sometimes we are stuck at a crossroad. We are stuck there and we are looking, now which direction am I supposed to go? There are four roads here. Now which path am I supposed to take? And many a times in our life we come to this situation where we are stuck. And we are not able to move forward. And that's when God says, I will help you move forward. I will help you move forward. The same thing happened with Abraham and Sarai and his family. He was not named Abraham, so I'm not going to say Abraham, but Abraham and Sarai. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
The call of Abraham. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you.
Okay. Now, God asked Abraham to leave his family and go to a place where he's going to show him. But then Abraham took part of his family along with him. Terah took his son Abram and Abram's wife Sarai, as well as Lot, son of Haran, who had died out of Ur of the Chaldeans and headed toward the land of Canaan. Instead of reaching their destination, they settled at Haran, or Haran we call it. Haran in Hebrew is crossroads. The name of the city itself is called Crossroads, right? Where Terah lived out the rest of his days. Abraham's father came to a certain place and they were stuck there. Till his father, Abraham's father died, they didn't move. Then God once again reminded Abraham that you need to move on. I have greater plans for you. I want to show you what I want to do with your life. So each one of you today, God is saying, if you are stuck somewhere, if you are stuck in the middle of something, that is not where I want you to be. That is not where I intended you to be. I want you to move forward. I want you to go forth. I want you to achieve something great that I have planned for your life. And I will show you. I will lead you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you all through the journey that you are taking. Because in Psalms we read in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When Abraham crossed, you know, Ur of Chaldeans, he was crossing borders. You have to understand this. He was not crossing cities. He was crossing borders. And you know, the terrain is so difficult there to travel. I've been there, so I know. It is mountainous terrain, it is the deserts, it is a very unforgiving place. And Abram's journey was not an easy journey. So he traveled and he took a step of faith. But somewhere down the line he got stuck. Maybe he heard his father or his wife, or I don't know what might have taken place, but Abraham was stuck with his family. Sometimes your friends may tell you, sometimes your family may tell you, I don't think you should go forward. I don't think you should move forward. But God is telling us that I don't want any believer to be stuck in one place. And that's why God says, go ye into all the world. I will be only in Hyderabad. This is the best place for me, safest place for me. I will not go to Mumbai. I'll not go to Delhi. I'll not go to Chhattisgarh, whatever. No. God, if he is asking you, if he is opening a door in another state, in another country, in another place, God wants to show you something big in your life. He wants to do something. God is saying, now move out. You become too comfortable here. You move forward. You go forth. Right? Now, Abraham, let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, please.
Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land.
Yes. Now, please listen to this carefully. Abraham and Sarai were the first settlers in Canaan. Imagine going to a land filled with idol worshippers, filled with people who practice child sacrifices, and people who believe that prostitution is a part and parcel of faith and their religion. Imagine they're going into a land like this and seeing people like this, and God is saying, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. What will the first thing that come to your mind? Now, I don't want to take names because this will become serious. Now, suppose you are going to some land in this country where there is severe idol worship, and God is saying, I will give you the land. Don't joke, God. That's the first thing we'll tell, probably we'll tell. Are you kidding me? Look at all these people. When are they going to change? When are they going to? But believe me, there are many people who are eagerly waiting to hear the truth, hear the gospel, to receive salvation. So God, when he asks you to move forward, that is a great purpose that God has for your lives, and God wants to do something really, really, really big in your life. And don't hesitate. Many people come to me and I tell them, if you are convicted in your heart and your conscience is saying it is good for you to go somewhere, go. Go. God is with you, and God has promised that, lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. He will preserve you. He will be as a sanctuary for you wherever you are dwelling. Now, Abraham and his wife Sarai became the first settlers of the Holy Land by packing up their belongings and moving to Elon Moreh near Shechem in Israel's heartland of Samaria. Now, I would say God is the original Zionist who made an eternal promise to give the land to Abraham and his offspring. Read Genesis 12:7.
The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land.
When Abraham left the Ur of Chaldeans, he had no children. Abraham had no purpose, no reason to leave his comforts. He said, anyway, I don't have children. My wife is without, you know, carrying children, so she cannot bear children. She's of her age. I cannot give her any children. So even if I move, what difference it is going to make? But God is saying, I will make the difference when you move. When you take a step of faith, God will make the difference in your life. God brought them to this land and he's saying, to your offspring. Now Abraham must be thinking, God is out of his mind. I don't even have children. And you're saying, these people who are in this land, you will drive them out and you will give me this land. I will possess it for my children and their generation. Oh Lord, come on, I think you're way off. Abraham could have said that. But you know what Abraham said? Here I am. Hineni. Hineni. That's all he said. Lord, here I am. Your wish is my command. Do we have that kind of a heart when God is taking you to some challenging places, to unknown turfs and territories, and asking you to be there for some time Because God has a purpose and a plan for you, for His plans through you to be fulfilled in that place. Please, children, I'm saying, get out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to cross boundaries or territories. God is with you. He's given each one of us a mission. And that mission, we read it in Matthew 28. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations. As Abraham, God called Abraham and Sarai, today God is calling you. Come on, move. Go forth. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I have something great planned for your life. I want to do something big, and through you, I will be glorified. People will know that this is the true God that they need to. Through you, people will believe in me. And God wants to do that in each of your lives. And He said, to your offspring will I give this land. At that time, the Canaanites controlled the land. Nevertheless, God reassured Abraham that it would one day belong to his offspring. Now, God's promises, come on, are yes and amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And He's saying, I will give it to your offspring. And today, do we see them or no? Hello? Every Jewish person in Israel is an offspring of whom? Is an offspring of? I can't hear you. Are they or not? The Jewish people are an offspring of Abraham or not? Yes? Okay, thank you. Your silence is dangerous. Okay. Right, let's go forward, please. Will God break His covenant? Okay, let's go to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. Only if God breaks His covenant, whatever He has promised you will fail. But if God does not break His covenant, whatever He has promised you will pass and will prevail. Right? So let's read this.
Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you.
Isn't it amazing? Though the mountains be shaken, have you ever experienced a real earthquake? Huh? I have. When I went to Bali with one of our mighty men of God, we went to Bali for a conference, and early in the morning, about 6:30, my bed was literally vibrating. You know what I did? I said, Lord, if I have to leave, all glory and praise to you. This was my prayer. It was so scary. And imagine, the Lord is saying, if you're seeing the mountains trembling, I mean, see, look at the situation. But the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. Praise be unto God. What a promise from God. And that's what He is telling each one of us today. Go forward. Whatever zones you're going, if the earths are trembling, mountains are shaking, whatever is happening, my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. My covenant of peace will not be removed from you. Go! I am with you. Go, God is saying. I will be with you even unto the ends of the earth. Do you believe God for that or no? I hope you believe God. Now God made more than a promise to Abram. God just did not speak mere words. In Genesis 15, God made a blood covenant. Now God spoke these words, and God also made a covenant with him that included giving the land to his descendants through Isaac and Jacob as an eternal inheritance. Now go to Genesis 17, please, verses 7 and 8.
I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant.
Underline that, please. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant
between me and you and your descendants after you for the generation to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God.
Abraham didn't have children. Abraham didn't have children. And God is saying, to your children's children, I will be give them this land as an inheritance, and I will be their God. Who knows better about you? Yourself or God? Tell me. No, you're lying. Is it really true that you know yourself better than God knows you? But that's what we are saying to ourselves. I will plan my life. I will do things my way. Or the highway is there, you can go. My way? And you're not allowing God to plan your life. Please put your life in His hands. If Christ is not our center of our life, we are hopeless children. If your life is not on Christ, if you're not relying on Christ, because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And there is no other way you can reach your destination. He knows what's best for you. So I pray that each one of you will stop saying, I know what's good for me. We don't even know the head and tail of what is good. We cannot even handle evil and good. So how can you say what is good for you? Lord, I don't know what's good for me, but I know you know what's best for me. So I will put it into your hands, Lord. You guide me, but I'm willing to go forth. You know, I lost my diary in the year 2010. I promised God that I will go wherever you want me to go, but if you're going to come with me only, I said. I will go wherever you want. I have written it. I will go wherever you go, but only if you come with me. You send me wherever you want me, but come along with me. And here I am, Lord. Use me. I wrote my name Raja. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This was in 2010. And by the grace of God, I've crossed boundaries, I've crossed oceans, I've crossed so many territories to preach the gospel for His glory. Praise be unto God. Let God be glorified for this. God made more than a promise to Abraham, and we saw it in Genesis 17, 7 and 8. And please, let's read Genesis 15, verses 5 to 7, please.
He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars.
You know, there's a saying. I don't know whether it is true, but this is a saying. From the scholars, Hebrew scholars, that during the time of Abraham, there were only 1,200 stars in the sky. And that's why God was asking Abraham to number the stars. And that's what it is written in one of the historians' books also, in some of the rabbinical books you can read, or in the Talmud, or in the Midrash, or whatever you find, any Jewish books that you want to read. And it says that they were only 1,200 stars then. I really don't know how true that is, but it is a saying. Please, pastor is not saying this, so please don't take my word for it. Okay? I'm just trying to tell you what I read. Yes, please. Yeah.
He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to them, "So shall your offsprings be." Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness.
Abraham said, "I don't need to count the stars, Lord. You are the ones who created the stars, the heavens, and everything. Why should I even count? I count your word. I believe in your word." Now this is the kind of faith. And that is why it says it was credited to Abraham as righteousness for his faith. He didn't say, "Okay, God, give me 2 days. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to count all the stars." He didn't say that. He said, "Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I put my faith in you. You have brought me this far, and you will help me go further also." Right? So let's see, what did he promise?
He also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur and Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it." But Abraham said, "Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it?"
Now, this is a very practical question. How shall I know? I don't have children, right? How shall I know? But God promised Abraham. God gave him Isaac. And from Isaac, we got Jacob. And through Jacob, we got all the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's see what was God's promise to Isaac in Genesis 17:5, please.
"No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations."
I have made you a father of many, even India. Even India. Because we are the children of Abraham and we are living here, he is our father. Praise be unto God. And in Genesis 26:3, see what he says to Isaac. 26:3, please.
"Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your descendants, I will give..."
To all you means it is Isaac. "To you, Isaac, and your descendants,
I will give all these lands, and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham."
God changed Abraham's name to Abraham. And then he made a promise that he will make him the father of many nations. And then came Isaac. Isaac grew up, and then God made, and he said, "I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father." Now, why does God have to keep the promise that he made to Abraham? Because it was unconditional there. Abraham was not involved in that treaty or in that contract. God put Abraham to a deep sleep, and God walked through that cut animal. It was a blood covenant. Generally, when somebody makes a covenant, two parties are there. And each party has to walk through that animal, which is cut into two halves. They have to walk through it to agree and confirm the covenant. But with God, God made Abraham to fall into a deep state of sleep. And he said, "This is my covenant." And you know what God did? Because there is no greater person than he swore on himself. And today you are heirs of Abraham, children of Abraham, through the blood of Jesus Christ. To Jacob, he says in Genesis 28, verses 13 and 14.
"There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac.
Yes, now see whom is he talking about? Two people. He's talking about Abraham, he's talking about Isaac, to whom? To Jacob.
I will give you Jacob. And your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And
all these. What does dust generally do? Yeah, thank you. When there is a strong wind, the dust moves from one place to another. And some of the dust is settled here, here, here. It's an amazing God, yeah. How God keeps his promises. And that's what God is telling. You go forward. You move forward. Whatever I have told you, I will fulfill it. I will accomplish everything. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You don't have to do anything. But just trust me and know that I am God. Be still and know I am God. I will do everything. What is God saying? I will let you do everything. No, he's saying, I will do everything, but allow me to do it. Now the problem is we don't want to allow God to do anything in our lives. Stiff-necked people that we are. So to Jacob, he's saying, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through your offspring. Abraham did not have to do a thing. Are you hearing? Did Abraham do anything? Hello? To establish this covenant with God. In chapter 15 of Genesis, God alone walked through the animals that Abraham offered, indicating the covenant he cut with Abraham was unconditional. God actually caused, go to Genesis 15 verse 8 please, from 8 onwards read.
But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I shall gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old.
What is that they found today? What did they bring to Israel? Thank you. Mystery here. Yes, please.
Bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon.
You know where they would probably sacrifice the heifer? Do you have any idea where they are going to sacrifice the heifer? They can't sacrifice it in the temple. If you read Numbers 19, the heifer cannot be sacrificed in the temple. It has to be taken out of the temple. You know where they're going to sacrifice it? The same place Jesus was crucified. It's a great mystery. I'm telling you, this is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And it's going to happen very soon because the heifers are already in Israel. We are living, or maybe the times of the end has begun, folks. The times of the end has begun. Where is Jesus Christ going to land? Where is Jesus Christ going to land? On the same mountain where he was crucified. And the sacrifice is happening on the same mountain where he was. See, this is all a great mystery that is happening in front of. That's where God is showing us signs. Right? And that's why God is saying, please don't be lazy. Go into the world. Preach the gospel. There are many souls that yet need to be saved and come into the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have wasted time. Go forth, go forth, go forth. I am with you, even unto the ends of the earth, God is saying today. You've become too comfortable with your lives. God is saying, go forth to the land that I'm going to show you. God wants to take you out from this city and place you somewhere else. Please don't pray, I don't want to go. Say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go and bear witness for you and a testimony for you, Lord. I pray that this will be your prayer. Yes, please, continue Genesis.
Verse 10. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and a dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved. And
Abraham did not know about it. He was in a deep state of sleep, and God is saying, what is going to happen to the descendants of Abraham? It was an unconditional covenant. You know, God alone walked through the animals that Abraham offered, indicating that the covenant he cut with Abraham was unconditional. God actually caused a deep sleep to fall on Abraham when he made the covenant with him, probably to emphasize that God alone is making this unconditional promise, and also to prevent Abraham from walking through it. In ancient practices, both parties would walk through the offering if it were conditional. But this was an unconditional covenant. Right? Now, let's see. Go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 17, please.
Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you.
Now, why did God ask Abraham, walk? Generally, we see in Acts, what did Paul do? He walked for how many days? In the market, how many days? Anybody? He saw all those gods, no, and then there's an unknown God. How many days was he walking? And then after that he went and he was talking to the scholars. Tell me. 3 days. 3 days. What he was doing? Chakkar mar raha tha. He was observing everything keenly, so God will open a door for him to preach the gospel. He was walking the length and breadth of the markets, observing everything, all the patterns, the cultures, the etiquettes. What do you do? Nothing. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Now, why did God command Abraham or Abram to do this? Because if in those days any king to claim his territory, he walked. Wherever his foot set, that is his territory. That became his boundary. When God commanded Abram to walk the length and breadth of the land, it was not just for a little sightseeing or stroll. I don't want to boast, but you know what I do? And a friend of mine? Entire outer ring road in the nights. You know what we do? We claim it. We pray, give me this city of Hyderabad. You know what I did? I don't know how many of you know that. I walked through Mushirabad in the night praying. I stood outside this gate and I was praying in the nights. Nobody knows. Because I was holding on to God's promises. And I pray that each one of you has the same zeal and fervor. Go, walk through the lanes, walk through the by lanes, pray, release the word of God and say, Lord, give me this lane, give me these people in this city, give me. Why will not God give you? If you do your job, believe me, there'll be an outflow of people in the church. That's what God is saying. Go, go forth, move, walk through the lanes, walk through the by lanes. I'm going to show you something that I'm giving you. Ask and I will give you the people as an inheritance and the nations. Is it there or no in Psalm 2:8? It fulfilled a legal custom in ancient times to claim ownership of a property by walking through it. That's why God said walk. This is for your information, okay? Egyptian and Hittite kings would regularly leave their grand palaces to take a ceremonial walk through their countryside in order to confirm their ownership of the land. In Mesopotamia, according to ancient records, the seller of a property would lift his foot off the land and purposefully set the buyer's foot upon it. This may further explain the cultural context of the scripture in which God promises to give Joshua every place the sole of his foot treads upon. I will remove their foot and I will put your feet on that place and I will give it to you. Everything is mine. The land is mine. The gold is mine. The sheep and thousand hills are mine. Everything belongs to me. I will remove that foot and put your foot. And wherever your foot will tread, I will give to you. But you're not willing to go. You're not willing to move. You're so comfortable with your little salaries, little jobs. You're willing to work for a man who is going to give you 1 lakh rupees for the rest of your lives rather than God who is going to give you eternal life? Come on, church! How sick can we be mentally? If you're willing to work for a man who is going to give you mere money but cannot save your life and you're willing to work for him till you retire, but rather work for God, I am amazed and appalled and I'm shocked. Many people, older people, please forgive me, I'm not naming anybody here. I will come, brother, after my retirement. Shame on them. Really, it's a shame on them. What will he carry at that age and do? What can he do? When you're young, take up the yoke. No, I will only want government jobs because I am secured. I will not go my home to government office. That is my path till I retire or till I die. But God is saying, go ye into the world, preach the gospel, for it is time of my coming. Lo, the end days are beginning. Lord is warning us. He's saying, go forth. I am with you. Wherever your foot will tread, I will give. I will give the land wherever you're going. Whichever land you're going to, I will give. But God is saying, please go forth. In Joshua 1:3, he says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. Every place I will give you where you set your foot. It is not a promise only to Joshua, church. It is a promise to everybody who is willing to become a Joshua. I pray and I hope you understand. We need to work for Lord now. It's time. There are many people who are dying without salvation. What are you going to celebrate Christmas for? How many people of you are preparing for Christmas? What gift are you going to give God? What gift are you going to give God? Isn't it a shame that God gave us everything for the whole year and we gave Him nothing in return, not a soul in return? God bless us, of course, which He does, because He doesn't know anything other than that. Love you, Jesus. Noah walked with God. Listen, Noah didn't walk the land, but Noah walked with God. But Abraham walked through the land. Joshua walked through the land. Wherever their foot set, Moses walked through the land. Do you know that? Noah walked with God. Abraham walked before God. Not before in the sense. You know that, no? Paving the way for the world to come to the knowledge of faith in the one true God. Abraham had an ability to cross over borders. What was Abraham's ability? I didn't hear. To cross over? Brother, no bus, brother. No train, brother. No transport, brother. That's why I'm not able to come to church, brother. God bless you. God really blesses. On the other. The world was on one side, and Abraham with the truth of God was on the other side. One man against the world. And who won? Who won? Abraham won. You against this world. You against this world, Sister Geetanjali. You against this world, Jason. You against this world, Kevin, Shadrach. You will win. Because God is going to fight your battle. God is going to give you the land. Brother Vishal, you also. God is going to give each one of us. If we are willing to take a step in faith, God will help us walk through it. He crossed over into his destiny. When Abraham took his first step, he crossed into his, hallelujah, a destiny that Abraham never knew was waiting. But when he took a step of faith, he walked into the destiny that God had prepared for him. God has prepared a destiny for each one of you, and God is saying, come, I will show you the land where I want you to go. He crossed over into his destiny, and his descendants inherited the reward and blessings as well as the characteristic of being those who cross over. Because of Abraham, his children were blessed. His whole destiny changed when he took a step of faith. That's why I'm saying, go forth, move forward. Don't look at this world. Don't look at people. What they will say. Don't think about what they will say. How they will react. You just do what you have to do because God is with you. The good work that he began, he will finish it until the day of Christ. For this reason, Abraham became the first person to be called a Hebrew, which means the one who crossed over. Now today, God is asking us also to become one who crosses over. May we too come to this life-altering place where we cross over into a new exciting adventure in our life with him. For 75 years, Abraham lived without knowing what his destiny was. How many years? He lived most of his life without really knowing his destiny, not until God revealed it to him through a covenant that led to a name change. Abraham waited again. How long? 25 years. before he began to see its fulfillment through countless ways in which God fulfills this promise to Abraham through the nation of Israel. Isn't it true? Is Israel a blessing to the nations or not? Israel's technology, agriculture, medical innovations and advances are helping people around the globe. Look at it. Why only Israel? But the most meaningful fulfillment of this promise is the word of the God that the people of Israel have faithfully protected and brought to the world. Who gave us this Bible? Who gave us? Christians? Who gave us the Bible? I can't hear. Who gave us the Bible? Was it Christians or the Jews? Was Paul a Jew? Look at the blessings here. Even today, all the people that God spoke of, we are talking about them. You know why we are talking about them? Because they took a step of faith. They crossed borders. They moved. They went into unknown territories. And God said, go, I have given Jericho. Go, I have given you this place. Go to Gideon. He said, go, I have given you so and so place. Go, possess the land. Possess the land. I have given you the land. I am with you. I am with you. But what do we Christians do? I am telling you, if it wasn't for the early missionaries who had come to India, today we would have been in a mess. If they would not have crossed borders, taken all the pain, the suffering, some were murdered, some were martyred, their children were killed, they were burned to death. But if it wasn't for them, today many people would have not known Christ. And each one of you has to have that same burden. As God promised Abraham and said, go forth, Abraham, go to the place I am showing you. God is calling each one of you today. Now, are you willing? Are you willing? I can't hear you. Are you willing? Is it wholeheartedly or? Yeah? 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 5.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade.
Isn't it so beautiful? All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, for you, for you. Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Go to Matthew chapter 1. See how the promise is fulfilled in the genealogy. Matthew chapter 1 verse 2 onwards.
Abraham was the father of Isaac.
And come to last verse 17.
Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exiled Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
Father of the nations. Anyone from any tribe, tongue or nationality who declares faith in Jesus becomes an heir of Abraham. Go, tell them that you can also become. Tell them that this invitation is open for each one of you to become heirs of Abraham and children of the living God, the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you. Go, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Don't delay. Please, I am requesting each one of you, do not delay. Go forth. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I want to close with this. How many of you want to go forth? Lift up your hands today, please. How many of you want to go forth and become the light to these nations and salt to the earth? You know when the salt loses its savor? Can anybody tell me? Huh? Absolutely. Salt will never lose its savor. But when you mix other components, right? That looks similar like salt, then the salt will slowly be overpowered by the rest of the adulterated ingredients. Now you are in this world. God is saying, you are the salt. Don't let anything adulterate you. Don't let anything spoil you. Don't mix this salt that I made you into with any other thing so that you will lose your savor. Go forth. Become the salt. Let them know and let them taste and see through you that the Lord is God.